Hi everybody, and welcome to Talking Tai Chi with the Teapot Monk. Here we're going to explore the many life-changing practices that begin with the study of Tai Chi, including Taoism, technology, teaching, and occasionally tofu. Welcome to this week's episode, where we ask the simple but surprisingly complex question, what happens in a Tai Chi class? Well, the short answer is that in a class of Tai Chi, you learn Tai Chi. The content of that learning experience, however, can vary from school to school, from teacher to teacher, so much that books and websites and DVDs recommending one version over another, one style over another, don't help us an awful lot. What really helps is not how much you know about Tai Chi, but how much you know about yourself. Let me explain that a little. What one person sees as soft, another sees as hard. What one sees as slow, another sees as fast. My dog, for example, can run pretty fast, but put against a greyhound and he looks a bit like a tortoise. We think of a tortoise as a slow mover, but put one against a snail and you've got one speedy-shelled creature. And so it goes on. I've been to beginners' classes that have had an inordinately complex structure, even for me, but for the teacher, they have epitomised simplicity itself. I've been to advanced classes where we've done little else than practice the first 2 minutes of the short form and one breathing exercise. Nothing is set, everything is fluid. And there is no such thing as absolutes or certainties. You have to learn to take it as you find it. For that reason, it's always best to go and view a class before enrolling, signing up, or committing yourself to a lifelong apprenticeship with the loudest school with the biggest advertising budget. Find out where your nearest classes are, because geography is always going to be a big issue. Then go and visit each one. Introduce yourself, say you're here just to watch, or join in if invited, but just see what you think and what you feel. So what are you looking for? Well, get your notebook and pen out and scribble down these couple of points. Most classes structurally are pretty similar. They begin by running through a series of movements and exercises that introduce you to the varying aspects of Tai Chi. For example, a warm-up usually involves movements that logically warm up the body. They get the muscles working, improve flexibility, and begin to build an awareness of body tension. This is fundamental. Without this in the class, you'll just be practicing another martial art. These may be followed by visualization exercises, specific breathing exercises, or drills in certain techniques or parts of the form. Some individual, some partner exercises. Now, have you got that pen ready? Because the next bit is important. The instructor, hopefully, will not only be showing these exercises to the class, but also watching to see how students are picking up the movements. Who perhaps is struggling, who is sprinting ahead, and whether the aim of each exercise is being correctly assimilated. This is important. If the instructor is working with his or her back to you for the whole class, posing in front of a mirror, then walk away. You need someone that knows how to see, how to watch, and how to observe. You're not paying for a DVD performance, you're paying for a class. Very likely, there'll be a section in your class where the form is taught. Short form, long form, old, new, sword, fan, it doesn't matter what it's called or which version you're learning. What's important is how the teacher facilitates the learning of this form. Is a posture shown a couple of times and then you're left to get on with it? Or is there a breakdown? Is there help? Are advanced students there to guide you? Is there an opportunity to ask for questions? To ask for another look? Ask for a context to be explained or an application? The form is an important part of all classes, but the way we learn it is fundamental. In fact, the way we learn it is pretty fundamental to all aspects of life. What I mean to say is, do you create your opportunities or do you just cut and paste them? What do I mean by that? Well, when you begin, you start to follow your teacher's movements. In fact, you emulate them. You want to look and move just like your teacher. It's normal. In fact, you may even want to be your teacher. Now, your teacher may encourage this by selling, for example, signed posters of himself. Or she may be courageous and encourage you to find your own path. But in the long term, you are going to need to let go of this idea of emulation and instead learn to internalize the patterns so that you will eventually produce a version unique to yourself. This is important. It's also pretty controversial, but I'll say it anyway. We're all built physically different. We're all individuals with personal preferences, habits, physical and emotional memories. We cannot simply copy and paste someone else's complex structure onto our own, no matter how much initially you may want to do this. Ultimately, you're going to have to find and interpret your own way of movement. But I'll say more about this in a later episode on philosophy and music. Let's go back to the class. To finish off, there are sections that often follow the form. Some may be partner work, yielding, sticking, push hands, rooting, etc., etc., etc. And I'll be looking at some of these more closely next week. So this is generally what makes up a Tai Chi class. Possibly a bit of meditation, possibly a bit of sparring. It varies from one to another. But all of what I've been talking about is from the point of view of the teacher. Ask a student and you may get a very different answer. So write that one down in your notebook now. Have a chat with students, not just teacher. Hopefully they'll feed back to you and talk about growing self-confidence, acceptance, skill development, coordination and competence. But what if they don't? What if you ask a student who's tempted to drop out or is slack in attendance? These are the people that you need to really ask as well. What was their experience? What do they think that goes on in a Tai Chi class? Maybe for them they experienced embarrassment, humiliation, inadequacy, awkwardness. If that's the answer, then think again about that class. Seth Godin once wrote that if you came to a lecture of his and you were bored, then the fault was his. As a teacher, if someone feels embarrassed, awkward, or unable to engage in my class, then I believe the fault is mine. So this brings me to the end. The teacher. Take a really good look at the teacher. Look for the extent of interaction between the teacher and the rest of the class. How much of the time is he or she talking? How much of the time is he or she listening? Is there an atmosphere of discipline or one of play? Does the teacher frown and tut or laugh and smile? You see, it's not about finding out about Tai Chi. It's about finding out about yourself. That's all for this week on Talking Tai Chi. Next week, I'll be exploring yielding, sticking and rooting, so make sure you bring along a roll of sticky tape and a pot of glue. This has been the Teapot Monk. Thanks for listening. Oh, and by the way, this week I've re-edited the short form photo PDF available via the website. For those of you enthusiastically looking for a visual representation of the postures and are tired of my incessant monologue, then you can pick up a free silent copy of this great little ebook by clicking on the Dropbox links at teapotmonk.com. For an alternative look at the internal arts, visit teapotmonk.com for controversial articles, heated discussions, insightful interviews, and links to the two classic texts on Tai Chi, The Manual of Being Good Boxing, and of course, Tai Chi 50 Essential Questions and Answers. Got a comment or a suggestion? Tweet me at beancurdboxer or email beancurdboxer@gmail.com.